Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading, this fifth Sunday in Lent, is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The reading begins. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke. Though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall know me, the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's epistle, this fifth Sunday in Lent, is Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. The reading begins. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was unable to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Do you receive gifts well? Are you a gracious recipient? Some of us are great at giving, but maybe receiving not so much. Lent and Easter are all about God's gifts to us. God's love and infinite forgiveness in the person of Jesus. So our question this week is, what do you do with the gift of God's forgiveness? How do you accept it, embrace it? You know, we open our service with the saying, with the invocation, "Bless the Lord who forgives all of our sins. His mercy endures forever." That's huge. You know, we say it and we move on. But today we get to ponder it. You can sum up all of today's lessons with one statement. You gotta have heart. It's all about heart. A clean heart, a renewed heart, a right heart, a heart of flesh. Our scriptures are all about covenant, assurance of pardon, transformation of our lives, and a future with heart. A clean heart. A heart that's been redeemed, forgiven, and filled with hope. That is the promise of the season of Lent and Easter. Bless the Lord who forgives all of our sins. His mercy endures forever. Forgiveness in the form of a clean heart. That is the covenant that God makes with the people. There are many stories in the Old Testament about covenant. Noah and the rainbow, Abraham and Sarah and their descendants as numerous as the stars, Moses and the people at the foot of Mount Sinai. In this week's reading from Jeremiah, the prophet speaks of a covenant not of stone and not external, but written deep inside, written in the very hearts of the people. We share that covenant. So what's in your heart? What's in your heart during this penitential season? Rescue and release, restoration and return. Jeremiah speaks of God's promises to the people of Israel while they are still in captivity, still in exile, steeped in loss and grief, heartbroken, and their spirits broken as well. Their city has been destroyed, and their conqueror has carried away their leadership. But by the 31st chapter, which we read today, Jeremiah is no longer scolding the people for their sin and lack of faithfulness. No. Instead, Jeremiah here brings the people a new message from God. God is trying to tell them something. And Jeremiah says it's good news, words of comfort and hope. God has had compassion on the people. God's heart has been touched by their suffering. God's heart, our hearts. These scriptures are all about heart. God will write God's law on the people's hearts and forgive their sins. In fact, in a passage from the prophet Ezekiel, God promises an even more radical heart surgery. I will give them a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within them. I will remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. It's all about heart. A new heart, a clean heart. Bless the Lord who forgives all of our sins. His mercy endures forever. In today's psalm, we prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." The writer tells of his desire for a second chance, a longing to be transformed by God. Psalm 51 uses the language of true contrition and humble repentance. And that's what the season of Lent provides for us, an opportunity to review our hearts and reorient our path and maybe do a little heart cleaning with God's help. The text begins in the psalm with a cry for mercy, and it is rooted in the speaker's prior experience of who God is. The Hebrew word hesed, translated in this verse as steadfast love, refers to the covenantal relationship between God and the people of Israel, and now between God and all people. God has promised to be theirs, and they have promised to be God's people. The word translated as abundant mercy is raham, and it is rooted in rahim, or womb, womb. The speaker is calling on God's womb love, God's mother love, the overflowing, eternally connected love that a mother has for her child. The speaker knows who God is and pleads for mercy from within the fold of God's never-ending compassion. It's all about love, womb love, mother love, God's love for us, his beloved children. Because it is written on the heart doesn't mean that the relationship is simply one of feeling. Our understanding of heart is possibly too narrow. Here we are speaking of a core experience, a core identity, not just a feeling. And at that core is forgiveness. The people of Israel have a chance to begin again. They are forgiven and have a new heart, a clean heart. They have the heart that the psalmist was praying for. Paul Purcell, the commentator, says it this way: the heart may be where God's intelligence or logic is expressed within us, embedded within us. Indeed, in ancient cultures, the essence of a person was believed to reside in the heart, not the brain or the head. The heart was the core of the being. And so, during this time of realignment and renewal, during this time of Lent, we turn again to God with our broken hearts, our broken spirits, our transgressions, our homesickness, our loneliness, our hunger for justice for a suffering world, our lost vision and lost hope. The very fabrics of our hearts are torn open, and we listen for God to address us with words of comfort and consolation, words of rescue and release, of restoration and homecoming. Like the Israelites, sometimes we are captives. Not of Babylon, but we are captives of different sorts of empire today. Empires of materialism, militarism, and greed. And yet, paradoxically, we walk in freedom. Also, we walk in freedom as a people of a covenant written on our hearts, a covenant given by our forgiving, loving God. We walk in freedom that is given to us by God, responding to the call that we have all heard to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God, to love God with our whole being and our neighbors as ourselves. What we hear in our gospel lesson is that in Jesus, we know someone who not only knows our sins, but who does something about them. When we meet him in today's lesson, Jesus is on his way to the cross, and he gives this promise, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." When Jesus is lifted up on the cross, he will set in motion the reconciliation of all people, the forgiveness of all people, the drawing of all people to himself. And through Jesus the Christ, each of us can have a clean heart, a restored, renewed heart that can love again like Jesus taught us to love. So the question is not, what would you do with a second chance? Because we get many second chances as children of God. But rather, how do you receive this gift of forgiveness? How do you embrace this new heart? So our homework for this week, if you choose to accept it, is to ponder this. What will you do with your clean heart, your cleansed, renewed, right heart of flesh? That is a core question of our Christian journey. It's a core question of our pilgrimage, and it's a question that recycles through all of our spiritual path and during Lent each year. During Palm Sunday, Holy Week, the Passion, I invite you to ponder this question. How will you receive God's gift? What will you do with the gift of forgiveness so lavishly bestowed by your loving God? The response to being forgiven, to being given a clean heart, a new heart, and more chances than we can ever count, is to develop a life patterned after Jesus the Christ. To be faithful disciples of Jesus, walking in his way, following where he leads, developing a servant's heart like his, so that we can frequently and humbly serve our neighbors as ourselves. My prayer for each of you today is that may your heart be restored and renewed during this season of Lent. Amen.